Hey, Muskegon. I tell you, if you go outside today for an extended period of time, or if you had been outside today for an extended period of time, you deserve some sort of award. I'm telling you right now.
It's not that cold, DJ.
Come on. I mean, look. I may have a few more strands of hair than you, but it ain't that much. You know, it's really disappointing. I hate to digress here, but I'm going to because it's my show and I can do whatever I want.
Right.
Obviously the entire country is going through this. I guess I'm going to digress from my digression. If you've ever watched the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show,
yes,
the Winter Warlock, the Winter Warlock has unleashed something in the contiguous United States, and I say all that because I try to be somewhat of a sophisticated dresser when it comes to
going into work,
going in and out of work, I think I'm of the age where I can maybe pull some things off, and I went to my Amazon. Well, I shouldn't say mine. It's my wife's Amazon account because I'm not allowed to have accounts. You see? And ordered up, I typed in the search little engine for Amazon, winter fedora.
Oh, you're going to get a fedora?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't wait till you get that.
Listen, well, I was hoping to have it today. Well, really, you know, so, I'm looking, I'm not breaking the bank. It looked like it was of sufficient quality, but who knows? for less than $30, I'm not sure what I'm getting. So anyways,
you gonna make me grab one now?
I ordered it up. It was supposed to come on Saturday. And to Amazon's credit, they're like, hey, we're a bit delayed given some of the severe weather that's, I don't know. I mean, you know, pick a state where there's not severe weather right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll come on Monday, which was yesterday.
Right.
And I felt like a kid, you know, waiting for, or actually felt like a dog waiting for the mailman to come so you could go chase it.
Right.
It was bad because, you know, when I and then they stopped, you know, because they allow you to track your package. Well, then that just stopped. The little needle went from, you know, received, and it would stop just short of the bubble that said out for delivery. Just short. Like, you know, every time I would refresh it, hoping that, oh, come on, man. Just a little bit further. Fill that bubble up. Well, it stopped doing that after yesterday. Uh-huh. After Sunday, really. And it just said, hey, essentially, we don't know when it's coming.
I just gave up.
And if you'd like a refund, we completely understand. And now I'm to the point where, okay, I mean, I suppose I could get a refund, but then I'm just going to go back and reorder it.
Right.
Because it was perfect. You know, the really cold day, like Friday, I had a winter hat on. And look, it's all for vain purposes. Little hair I have on my head, I don't want to mess up. I don't. Right. And in fact, in the description of this fedora that I have ordered, it basically says, you know, it's got it says satin lining, but I'm sure it's like satin-like.
Yeah.
to not mess up your hair. So I thought this is great. It covers, right, you know, my head so the heat won't escape. And right, it's designed to not mess up what little hair I have left on my head. And so I was super excited because it's coming Saturday. I know it's going to be cold all this week. I'm going to be styling and profiling. Well, as you can tell, Tuesday has come and there still is no hat at my house. So
the fedora didn't make it.
It hasn't made it.
And it's Tuesday already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I I was mistaken there. You can get a refund. I thought maybe they're just going to give it to me for free. No. It's basically, hey, look, they don't even tell you that, you know, we're not exactly sure where it's at, but it's clear they're not exactly sure where. It could be on an Amazon truck stranded in some highway, because it was coming, get this, Rob, it was coming from Miami. Supposedly.
Really?
Yeah. The whatever warehouse they have in Miami.
Wow.
It was coming from Miami. And it probably made it to about Alabama.
Say we give up.
And the truck went, yeah, either I'm going to go 5 miles an hour or I'm going to slide off. And who knows? It could be in some ditch somewhere between Miami and here, just sitting on a truck. And like I said, the message, they don't even give me the little tracker thing.
Nothing.
No. The message is, due to severe weather, we appreciate the fact that your package is significantly delayed. If you'd like a refund, you know, click here. I was hoping they would say, we're going to just give you it for free.
Right.
Because you waited so long, I'm just going to credit your account. And right. that didn't happen. So I have yet to cave. I haven't caved yet. I haven't asked for the refund.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping that it arrives
sometime.
Soon. I was pathetic, dude. Last night before I went to bed, this is at 10 o'clock at night, I actually opened my front door to see if the package was there. That is how bad it is with me.
No, you didn't, did you?
I did. Turned on the front light, opened the door. Because, listen, I'm confessing to this entire audience right now. Uh-huh. You know, because I can't, the way the windows of my door are, I can't see like down to the where they might put the package.
Right.
So I walked over behind my couch to try to look out the front windows to see if I could get a side glance. Uh-huh. And I thought for a second, I saw, oh, is that brown? Is that a brown
house? You got happy for a second.
I got happy for a second, and then I opened the front door, and no. It was an optical illusion. That's how bad. I'm 54 years old. It shouldn't really matter.
Oh, man. Well, this weather is,
hey, look,
it is what it is. Have you and your wife went skiing yet?
No.
Snowmobiling, any of the winter fun sports?
No. I my daughter during the it was kind of during the cold snow snap was like, we should go sledding, and I said, are you out of your mind? It before we even get to wind chill, it's negative.
DJ, is beautiful outside.
Oh, listen, the snow is lovely. And in fact, after I'm done here with the show, I'm going to enjoy the outside and snow blow my driveway. which hasn't, again, it's so funny because it's one of those, in the early parts, it's like, oh, I want to kind of keep up, you know, keep it as close to the driveway pavement as possible, you know. And then you just get, I gave up. I'm just like, you know what? It's snowing so much. A few tracks in the driveway. And so now I have, you know, we have a two-stall car garage.
Uh-huh.
And where the two cars go in, there's created these little mounds of snow that the tire tracks have built up.
Now you got to go chip all that away.
Oh, that ain't happening, buddy. I mean, it is what it is. The nice thing is it's like a little runway into the driveway. So I follow the tracks, you know, I'm good to go. But it does, you know, from a shoveling perspective, when you get to those, it, you know, sometimes you forget and uh-huh. you get the old shovel handle in the gut. That's always fun. that is if you have never experienced that, here's my suggestion, is that you just get a running start
uh-huh.
and start shoveling, and then it's like you hit a brick wall.
Yeah. And then
the shovel goes right into you.
inside of your stomach. And depending on where you got it, it's either going to be his stomach or right below your rib cage.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you talking about something hurting.
Yeah, you know, you talk about doubling over. Yeah.
Well, I thought the great city of Muskegon sent out plow trucks to your driveway to make sure you can get to work.
You would think that would be the case, but yeah, no, they don't.
In fact,
you know what's really interesting is in the neighborhood I live, it's not technically considered a county road, although we do get a county plow that kind of goes through the neighborhood,
uh-huh.
And I live on a cul-de-sac, and so. They have been very gracious in plowing the end of my driveway in, which I appreciate. I mean, you know, thank you for making the circle making the circle clean and giving me a little bit of a launching ramp as I pull out of my driveway.
So you have the issues us commoners have.
Oh, listen. You know, I shouldn't. I mean, you know, I'm not. Listen, MDOT, I'm not complaining if you're listening. But perhaps you could aim the blades the opposite way.
Right. Where ain't no driveway.
I listen, if I back out and I go into a snowbank because I'm okay with that.
Right.
It's the, you know, trying to get up and over.
Over it, yeah. And God forbid, your wife got to get out.
Look. Yeah.
And go shopping for the week.
Listen, what is important to emphasize here is that it's really important to have a clean driveway. in the household. It's really, really important. Very important.
I can only imagine your wife trying to get out.
Yeah.
And she like,
yeah.
Dale, get out here.
You know, I have to say is that uh-huh. she has, she has on occasion run the snowblower, and even when we had a little bit of a thaw prior to this sort of last winter warlock weather, was out there sort of chipping away at the ice, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's impressive because I my view of the world is that's what spring is for. Spring brings warmer weather and it melts it all away. And then you don't have to chip away at anything. The real cool thing is that, you know, we have a neighborhood association and pay dues as a result of it. And some of that money, they have a leaf pickup in the fall. Well, what's really the added bonus to all this, Rob, is that just prior to Thanksgiving, which was the quote unquote last leaf pickup. So everybody had their leaves pushed down to the edge of their property line by the road. The snow came. And that meant that the leaf guys weren't coming around. So the whole bonus of this is that it looks like a snowdrift uh-huh. on the sides of my driveway, but really what it is leaves.
The next association meeting, you need to say, can we buy a truck with a plow on it?
Yeah, hey, listen.
So y'all can do the end of our driveways.
I'll drive it. I mean, I'm not opposed to, listen, we'll park it somewhere.
Right.
And I'll get in and I'll figure it out. But we gotta accomplish something. That is for sure. I mean, it is first world problems. I get it. Quit being a sissy. Get out there with a shovel and get it taken care of. I mean, ultimately, I have the... I put on the snow pants.
Uh-huh.
I've got sort of my winter hunting jacket, which
uh-huh.
I only have to wear a t-shirt with because it's so hot. I have this sort of full head, neck, It's like a gator with a hood.
Wow, I got to get one of those.
So I cover my neck and I got it over my head, uh-huh. And then I flip the hood up, and I'm good to go, man. Now, you know, hopefully the problem is like on a day like today where the wind's blowing, uh-huh. you have to kind of guess or get right, I should say, which way the snow's got to go. Because I have on occasion, uh-huh. you know, done it the wrong way. To just basically end up blowing snow all over me, including my face, right? I mean, that, you know, you want to talk about, they talk about the the polar plunge being an exhilarating experience. And having done it once, it is uh-huh. quite exhilarating jumping into freezing cold water.
Uh-huh.
But the little ice crystals, like, hitting your face is a whole new animal.
You can't charge nobody for that.
I can't. Listen, if I could charge the Winter Warlock, he would be in jail right now. He would be.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm telling you right now that we would be issuing criminal charges against the Winter Warlock.
DJ, going to get him. Oh, man. DJ, the world is going to hell.
Listen, what's interesting, yeah, I mean, I should have probably anticipated today's topics.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing you.
Yeah.
And knowing your...
This ain't your first rodeo.
No. We have walked this path a few times, my friend. So I should have, on my way over, started mentally preparing myself for the questions that were coming. Because I'm sure, as the most recent events have unfolded,
yes,
you have questions.
Oh, I have a whole lot of questions.
All right. Well, let us begin, shall we?
DJ?
Yes.
Did you watch any of the videos?
So I've watched little snippets of the first Minnesota shooting, and then I've caught not enough of the second to really say that I've watched the video of it. I mean, you know, again, from my perspective, I try to as much as the media annoys the crap out of me when we have stuff that happens here in Muskegon and they're wanting everything like right away. And it's just like, well, look, you know, that I want to provide information to the community, and I want to do that. But I also have a responsibility and a job to do to sort of evaluate everything first and not, you know, throw stuff out there it would be perceived in an effort to slant a particular view, which is never the case. And so my general philosophy is that I want to get everything, review it, and then we can talk about what we're going to release to the media.
What you ain't going to release.
In today's world,
yeah,
it is that's just like unacceptable. It's like how dare you want due process to happen first before, you know, we quite honestly, and this isn't necessarily true for local media, but on a national level, they're pretty mean-spirited about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in almost in a bully-like fashion.
Yes.
And that's irresponsible as far as I'm concerned. But to your question, I haven't really had a chance, and I would love the opportunity to watch, like, all the body-worn camera stuff, and if people were taking cell phone videos, I'd love to see all that, to see it. Because, again, certainly depending on your perspective, you can probably take both scenarios and create a video sequence,
right,
that, you know, proves your point.
Right.
For me, that's I like to see it in its unedited entirety.
Right.
And formulate my own opinion. You know, in the first incident, it's a little bit more difficult only because, you know, my understanding is that the officer that was involved actually did get hit by the car and suffered some injuries. That's at least what was reported. I don't know whether that's true or not, but
yeah,
that's at least what was reported. Yeah. So that circumstance becomes a little bit more difficult to evaluate because, you know, again, we've talked about this, I think, a couple of times on this program. When at least if I look at the self-defense instruction for Michigan, right? The one that is read if in a criminal case self-defense is going to be alleged. It's not that the defense has to prove that self-defense exists. The prosecution has to prove that it does not exist. And the instruction that is read to the jury here in Michigan is very, very liberal in the sense that it, instead of looking at it from a bird's eye or an objective view, it looks at from the subjective view. So if you are the individual involved, it's what did Big Rob perceive at the time that he used deadly force? Did he perceive that his life was in danger of serious injury or death? If so, deadly force is a-okay if that's what you perceived at the time that you used deadly force. And the instruction goes on to further say that even if you're mistaken, even if you're mistaken. So, for example, this works in a situation where, let's say you're walking down the street and somebody pulls out an airsoft gun. You think it's a real gun. You fire and you kill that individual. It turns out that there's no way that gun was going to kill you because it's an airsoft gun.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that even if later it's determined you were mistaken in your belief that you were under you were fearing great bodily harm or death, the instruction still applies to you.
Mm.
So if you look at the law in that framework, it makes these situations very difficult to evaluate, and more importantly, very difficult to disprove that self-defense was appropriate. Deadly self-defense, deadly use of force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in that first circumstance, that one's a little bit more difficult because, again, you're whether or not that young lady was just trying to get out of the situation or whether she was truly, trying to run somebody over, as long as the officer perceived that his life was in danger of serious injury or death, he had the right to use deadly force. I know nothing other than what everybody else is.
Right, right.
So I'm not making an opinion on it. I'm just saying that if in fact the law is somewhat equal to what Michigan has, that situation becomes very difficult. The other complicating factor is, and we saw this sort of play out in the situation that happened in Grand Rapids with that Michigan State police trooper.
Right.
That he was a state trooper, but working under a federal grant or essentially working as a fed.
Right.
Which caused the state charges to be moved into federal court and ultimately dismissed because federal court doesn't recognize state. And there's a lot of legal nuances there.
Yeah, I was getting to that. I'm coming that way.
And so what's complicating matters is that at least as to the first incident, now they're backing off on the second one. But on the first incident, the locals were not allowed to investigate. And the Fed said, no, we got this. And it, again, it just so happens that the department who this individual was working under was the one leading the investigation. I got a big problem with that. I think it should be an independent.
Yes.
Typically, at least from what I've been reading, the FBI usually handles that. And they were only sort of on the outside looking in, offering assistance if needed. And I got a huge problem with it, investigating your own. Just a big problem with that. I think that is a miscarriage of justice. It should never happen. It should never happen. There should always be an independent arm investigating something like that. But again, it's a federal agent under a federal order executing a federal, working under the federal jurisdiction, and whether or not, even if the state decided to issue charges, whether or not they would survive is an entirely other legal question.
My thing is, DJ, the woman got shot in the face. The woman did.
Yeah.
The man got shot 10 times. It's a little excessive, the second one, okay? everybody can look at those videos and everybody's going to see the same thing but have different opinions.
Mm-hmm. Very
That's
true.
Fine.
Very true.
But I agree with you that there should be independent federal law enforcement, state law enforcement. I think everybody should put their 2 cents in there and see what they come up with. Put it in the bag, shake it up, and see what you come up with. Okay? Because what you're doing is you're turning what people think of law enforcement. Mm. That's the environment that's being created. So the ones who voted for Trump, this is Big Rob talking, this ain't DJ Hilson, just so everybody's clear. It's turning people against it. Took all these years to build it up. Well, trust law enforcement, but some of the law enforcement has made it hard, you know, for everyday American citizens to say, well, yeah, I still trust law enforcement. Mm. Then on top of that, Trump has 3 more years to go. Okay. Eventually, he will not be the president of the United States with all the power and 34 felonies. That's the thing I don't understand.
Yes.
If I had 34 felonies,
yeah,
I could not even purchase a gun.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
But he has a finger on all our nuclear weapons, which is more dangerous than a gun. And we okay with that.
Well, you use the term we very liberally.
Now, that makes formulating laws a little difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it, though.
Yeah, look. You know,
I know you're not a legislator.
Look, this is why I love coming here, because you have a way of creating interesting dynamics in how you, because you didn't necessarily start with that question, but you got there.
Right. That makes it make things difficult for you?
Handgun, nuclear weapons. I mean,
and command of over 1 million troops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That carry weapons, state-of-the-art flight, old flyovers. Look, he sent the people, the military over there to get whoever this guy was in Venezuela, wherever he was, and said, hey, he sold drugs. Let's bring him over here, and let's try him in our courts, him and his wife. So I everybody say law is fair. That's not fair, DJ. I had only a couple felonies, and they wouldn't let me get a gun.
I know.
He has his finger on the nuclear bombs.
Listen, I don't even know how to respond to that. But it's not that I don't want to or I'm afraid to. I know. A few shows ago, I if you recall, if you've been a loyal listener for a while, I brought with me at one particular show a copy of the United States Supreme Court opinion.
Yes.
On whether or not Trump had immunity on certain things.
Yes.
And it was a very thick opinion, and I gave it to Rob to read.
Yes, and I read it.
Oh, yes, he did, because he highlighted it, put notes in it. I don't know how to respond to that, because it's a crazy nuance. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really. What's really weird is that it doesn't make any sense that you have that and you're able to stay on the ballot and then get elected, because all that happened prior to the election.
Yes.
And imagine, and I'll put myself in this position. Imagine if just before the election, I ended up with 34 felony convictions. Well, one, the law says I wouldn't be able to run for office. I would be out.
Yes.
And even if I was elected, I would be out, and it would be, then it would go to the appointment process, which the judges get involved in. And why that doesn't exist at the national level, because it doesn't exist at the national level, makes no sense to me. Maybe because, I don't know, for centuries, because we're getting at, we're at 250 this year. For centuries, the office of the president never had to worry about that.
No.
I mean, there may have been some scoundrels, and they may have, you know, maybe drank too much, maybe chased some women.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. But right. not to the level of, you know, now you're convicted of a felony.
Right.
And so, I don't know, perhaps the founders and the drafters of our Constitution were all the slaves, believe that the electorate would have the sense to say, if that ever happened, they would say, oh, yeah, no, not you,
this ain't happening.
This ain't happening. You're out. Unfortunately, they're not around in 2024.
Yeah.
When all this occurred in dealing with some of the electorate that we have here. So, it makes no sense. I don't understand it. And who knows? Maybe at some point in time, the legislature changes that. Although, you know, to amend the Constitution, I think you need a couple of things. You need, for sure, 75%. I think that all the states have to. Yeah, there's a crazy process to amend the United States Constitution. I mean, it requires a lot of heavy lifting in order to do so. But that being said, I can't even remember where we started. I'll be honest with you. You got me so turned upside down.
No, it's just we were talking. I started off by president having 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we discussed that prior.
Independent investigation.
Independent investigations.
Well, you know, that yeah, you know what's interesting. So you look at the second incident, and that is at least, you know, because I try to read some news, you know, when I can in the morning time. And that has, at least, that incident itself has turned some heads on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat,
right.
Asking for, you know, the heads of some of these law enforcement divisions to come in and testify in front of the Oversight Committee again.
You know, it's a pony show.
It's like it's a dog and pony show, a lot of pomp and circumstances. People get to flex a little bit. You know, whether or not anything comes of it, you know, that who knows. But at least as of what I've read today, they have opened up the for locals to conduct their own independent investigation of that incident, which I think is important. You know, I what's really fascinating to me is, you know, again, what I like to see, and it's kind of happening, is the folks who get on TV a lot, who decided they were going to spout off some of their opinions without knowing the entire facts, are now getting called.
Oh, I was going to that.
Are now getting called to the carpet on that.
Because I've never seen you do that.
No. They're now getting called to the carpet on it, which is the appropriate response, because that's irresponsible for one. One, it's irresponsible to say anything without an investigation done. That's completely irresponsible. Two, To say outlandish things knowing that you don't know the facts is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That speaks to character and integrity. And really three, this idea, well, what I was going to say is what's really fascinating, because of some of the craziness that people were saying, that got folks in the base fired up, especially the Second Amendment folks, because there was a comment made about how, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, carrying a weapon to a protest, and the Second Amendment folks went, whoa, 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 he had a lawful CPL. What are you talking about?
Right.
Were you saying that law enforcement has the right just to shoot a lawfully person lawfully carrying just out of the
right?
I mean, that got them all jacked up, which is like why I think you're starting to see some backpedaling.
Oh yeah.
I mean, big time backpedaling to the point even now, which again is somewhat comical, that the folks are now trying to insulate the president from the crazy remarks that his cabinet members were making.
Yeah, but he said them too.
Well, listen, I mean, like I said, it's comical.
I think he called this guy a domestic terrorist, and you shouldn't have a gun at a protest. I think he made some statement on that Truth Social thing.
Yeah, that's apparently where you... where you get all your news now is go to Truth Social and wait for a tweet to come out on. That is the most. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I just don't understand it.
And I really don't care who you voted for as long as you just went out there and voted.
Absolutely.
That's what it is about to me.
Yep, first and foremost.
But to sit up here and blame everything on another party.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how is it Barack Obama got deported as many illegals, as they call them, as he did, without sending ICE into the communities like he is sending people out into the community?
Yeah.
To me, it's like you trying to show how tough and bad you are.
Well, look, I mean,
bullies get dealt with.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is, you know, well, this is going to sound silly, but if you've ever watched some of the original Spider-Man movies, one of the coolest lines comes from Uncle. It's Aunt May and Uncle. Can't think of it. Anyways,
I know who you're talking
Peter
about.
Parker's uncle.
Yeah,
and he says, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes,
and it sounds silly in the Spider-Man context, you know. Okay, but if you carry that forward to, you know, those folks that have power.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot of responsibility with that, and again, you know, is it easy in those chairs to get up and run your mouth and do whatever and order this and order that and not really have any true oversight? Yeah, we're seeing it sort of unfold right now, right?
Right.
We're seeing what true power, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it, that the person who holds the seat of the president of the United States of America has. Again, without really much oversight, without really much check and balance. You know, we'll see as some of this stuff unfolds. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of lawsuits filed and things going up and down to the Supreme Court and whatnot, and some challenges have been successful, some challenges have not been. So, I mean, I can't truly say that there isn't a check and balance, but that all takes time. I mean, these are reactionary things, right? As opposed to being proactive. And, you know, again, I go back to this idea that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And if you don't use it appropriately or judiciously, this is the kind of stuff that happens. And that's... To me, that's frustrating. That's the frustrating part. Is, I mean, look, everybody wants their streets crime free. I mean,
right.
All
of us do.
Understand it completely, but there's also this idea of respect of due process, respect the law, and not think, as you have pointed out many times, that you're above the law.
Yeah.
I mean, would I love the ability to just still go kick doors in and grab, you know, what I think to be criminals? Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, all it takes is one time to get it wrong. And that's why there are checks and balances.
Right.
To make sure that, you know, the information we are using in order to do those things is checked by the judiciary branch. When we make charging decisions, we have checks and balances a couple along the way to make sure that we have probable cause and that we've got the right person and the right charge. Those are all checks and balances in the system. The ultimate check and balance is, you know, either by judge or by jury proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the ultimate check and balance. And in some instances, you're seeing, you know, basically, you know, the judge and executioner, right? You're seeing it all in one foul swoop.
Right.
And that's scary.
And that's why I'm trying to wrap my head around it and understand it. You know, my youngest son asked me, said, "Daddy, what's going on?" I'm like, "You see what's going on. I can't explain it any better. You see what's going on. And you just have to survive 3 years. Because after these 3 years, I'm hoping that people don't put another radical in that office. because then we would be doomed. Because it's like Trump is the face of all this radicalism, right? They're pushing him out there. You be the radical one. You do all the tyranny and all that kind of stuff like that. I don't know if I use the word tyranny correctly, but anyway, you put all that stuff out there. You're the face of it. We're going to get Big Rob to come in after you, and he's going to even do even worse damage. And that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen. I hope somebody gets in there. I mean, you're used to politicians lying to you. You're used to that. Mm-hmm. You know, as American citizens. Oh, I promise you this. I promise you that. You don't know what you can promise until you get in that seat. And that's just the truth. I'm in a lot of organizations, sit on a lot of boards. And honestly, you don't know what that seat. Nobody can tell you what it's like to be a prosecutor, a county prosecutor elected. They may have an idea. They may have seen you work. They may have seen some of the things you've done. Maybe they like what you do. Maybe they don't like what you do. But nobody really knows until you sit in that seat and you have all of those decisions to make. Hey, do I have to sit here? Because not only these radio shows, not only you signing charging papers and stuff, you got to worry about, you got to deal with employees mm-hmm. too. And you have to, you know, take in their emotions and things that's going on in their lives and, you know, making decisions, you know, like that and stuff. I can only imagine what your job entails. Only thing we see, oh yeah, he's the head, and he told me I'm going to prison for the rest of my life, blah, I hate him, blah, 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 blah. But nobody knows where you sit, you know, and that's where I think a lot of times in dialogue, mm-hmm. we as human beings, we miss out on each other's message. You know, some people, you know, may say, Rob, you talk too aggressive, or you this, you that. That may be true. It might be. But have you sat in my shoes? Mm-hmm. What did they say? Walk a mile in my shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows what I experienced, what I'm going through, you know, what I've been through. So I think, you know, on that level of being in charge of the free world, you shouldn't have nobody that radical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again,
that's just my opinion.
Again, you know, there is sort of a balanced approach, and it comes down to, you know, being able to get things done to the benefit of the American people,
right?
I mean, that ultimately, you know, from Congress all the way up the food chain, that should be sort of the and should be the number one priority. How are we going to benefit? Now, you know, the argument is, well, you know, we want to get rid of these illegal immigrants who are committing crimes and whatnot, and you know, maybe they exist. I mean, there are people that commit crime and that are not from this country.
Right.
Totally get it. I mean, we've prosecuted, you know, I don't know how many, but, you know, we've had that over the course of my career. We've run into that.
Right.
So they're out there. They exist. But, you know, to the level of what's happening now in certain areas of our country seems a bit extreme. just seems a bit extreme. And whether or not that truly is benefiting the American people, as we're seeing some of this stuff play out now, I'm not sure what benefit that is.
I'm still trying to figure it out, DJ. That's why when you come in here, I ask you these questions. They may sound retarded. They may sound crazy. Or you don't know. No, I really don't understand that. I get what they're saying. In any other country, if you commit a crime, you're automatically deported majority of the time mm-hmm. back to your home country, as they would put it, in certain countries.
Yep. Yep.
Why we're not doing that, I don't understand. One. Two, I understand they're coming over the border. They're coming in boats and trying to survive because they're running from tyranny in their own country, all that other kind of stuff. You and I can't help where we were born. So I get that.
Right.
everybody around the world looks at this country as being fair because of the checks and balances. So, of course, they're going to want to come here. I get that portion of it, too. I understand that you want to be somewhere where you can at least feel like you're safe, even if you ain't safe.
Right.
You ain't got to worry about a bomb just automatically exploding. I sleep good at night because I ain't worried about a bomb.
Right.
You know, dropping on little old Muskegon.
Right.
And blowing my house up, my family up. I can only imagine what it's like to be laying in a hut or something like that. And you got to worry about a bomb exploding because you got these radicals. That's why we have checks and balances.
Right, right.
You know, like you were saying, checks and balances.
Right.
It just seemed like with the federal government, we don't have that at all. Especially now.
Yeah.
People could have made those suggestions, arguments prior to Trump. But there was checks and balances, and you listened to them, you know, whether you agree with them or not.
Right.
Everybody doesn't agree with decisions you make.
Right. That's true. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So you go to court, a check.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't agree with his decision, so I'm not guilty.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, now you got to present why this person is guilty.
Right.
Defense got to present why this person is not guilty. Why you see it this way, why the defense attorney sees it this way, I don't know. We're not in your head.
Right.
But there's those checks and balances.
Right.
This stuff that's happening is not being checked. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it's not being checked. Because to have somebody, that's like you do something wrong and say, well, DJ, you charge yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
you're the prosecutor.
Yeah, right.
So, hey, why not let me charge myself?
Right.
Oh, I don't dismiss all charges.
That's right.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
Pardon myself.
Right. You're right. So that, to me, is a sad part. I think the state should be involved in it. I think, you know, the FBI should be involved in it. ICE, from what I understand, the history of ICE, it was not intended for that purpose. To go into urban places.
No, I mean, I think it. You know, it's a department that was born out of 9/11, and ultimately, at least in the early goings, they were assisting like DEA in the drug war, if you will.
Yeah,
That this was not. In fact, you know, I sit on a multi-jurisdictional board, both Fed and state. And it's centered around the drug enforcement, but it's, you know, it's everybody from Border Patrol, Postal Inspection, DEA, FBI. I represent the prosecutors, and there's local police chiefs and whatnot. And you know, early on when people were getting reassigned to do different things, uh-huh. I mean, these guys are looking around, going, "I'm not exactly sure what we're doing." Where we're going to be. And so, yeah, I mean, you're essentially taking somebody's individual priorities and you're utilizing the wealth of federal resources in order to accomplish those independent, you know, your own individual priorities.
Yeah, and Donald Trump will be out in 3 years. And you can almost guarantee, just like they went after him, after he got out of office, y'all better watch your backs while you're up there. Oh, yeah, and our president said all this garbage. You got to understand, you affected a lot of people's families.
Yeah.
And you affected, you know, you got 2-3 people dead from ICE, you know. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be dealt with eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of unfolds.
Like I said, he got 3 years. I'm counting down the years. Because I'm sure some prosecutors, lawyers, they're sitting back analyzing everything. What laws apply to this, that, and the other? You're going to give them a 3-year jump start because when they hand down the stuff for you to come to court, you can almost guarantee they done did their research and they done had years of arguments.
Right.
So, yeah. Now we got it. It's almost our time. Football.
Got to talk.
Yeah. What happened?
Look.
Denver.
Denver. So, I mean, yeah, obviously my Packers lost. Heartbreaker. I mean, an absolute heartbreaker. I can't even talk about it anymore without just, you know, going into a shell. But, you know, I do follow the Broncos. I mean, I've been, you know, a Bronco fan since I've been 16 years old. It was a series of unfortunate events. You know, they go to overtime against the Bills, win that game, and I guess in the second to last play, Bo Nix, the starting quarterback, breaks a bone in his foot, and he's done. Which, that was the craziest thing because, you know, I watched that game and, you know, the sideline stuff and sounded normal, didn't say anything. And it was maybe about 10 minutes later, all of a sudden I get this alert on my phone saying Bo Nix is out for the year. I'm like, what? I go, this has to be a joke.
Right.
And oh, sure enough, I mean, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's done. You know, they hyped up this backup quarterback, and that was nice going into it. At least, you know, there was some level of confidence. And after the second drive where he threw the touchdown pass, it was just like, okay, I mean, maybe we're okay. And then sort of the I haven't played football in a few years came out. and he made some what you would almost classify as rookie mistakes. And then, you know, all it took was, you know, a risky go for it on fourth and one when they could have kicked the field goal to go up 10-0, but Broncos. You know, it's interesting, the missed field goal to tie the game was one tipped. And what I have since learned is that this is during the snowstorm.
Uh-huh.
And because the field was covered, they actually were 1 yard closer to the line of scrimmage than they should have been. That being the punter who is the place.
Right, right.
Typically, you go 7 yards back. That gives you enough clearance to get over.
Over, yeah.
And they were 6 yards instead of seven, which probably contributed to that ball being tipped.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But there were no lines. It was a white field with snow flying like today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, it was unfortunate. You know, Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. It's just that to me is just aggravating. I mean, you know, they spent all those years in the early 2000s, you know, just always going, and yet here they go back again. And I had forgotten, but this is a rematch of Super Bowl 49. Seahawks and Patriots played. If you remember,
oh, yeah,
this was
so dear.
This is what's his face, Pete Carroll.
Carroll, yeah.
Where he decided on, I don't know if it was third and one, third and goal on the 1 yard line, they decide to not give it to what's his face?
Yeah.
Oh,
we really think
the he was a beat. They called him Beast.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. The running back who had been running all over the place up to that point,
they
decide to throw it, and they throw an interception that ends the game essentially, as opposed to handing it off to the guy that had basically carried him down to the goal line to basically bowl over everybody and score. One of the, you know, craziest questionable calls, I think, in Super Bowl history. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a rematch because those two teams played, and that was when Tom Brady was with the Patriots. And so now it's a rematch of that contest, and we'll see. I mean, Seahawks, I think are favored because, you know, they, I think overall have the better team, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, we got a Muskegon native.
I know, which
Anthony
is cool.
Bradford, who is actually, from what I understand from the sports historians around here, he's the first person from Muskegon to ever play in a Super Bowl.
That's awesome,
and that's from what I understand.
Even Earl Merle was not a Super Bowl quarterback because he.
Oh, they didn't say that.
Okay.
Because I asked some of those gurus. Yeah. Now, that might be true, but I asked some of the gurus.
I don't know if he ever
gurus.
Made the Super Bowl or not, but he was a famous quarterback that I didn't know until much, you know, early or later in my time here in Muskegon that he was a Big Red.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, he's a pretty famous quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's such a cool thing that, I mean, here's a kid – played at Muskegon High School.
Pee-wee football,
yeah.
Everything.
LSU Tiger, now a starting lineman, and is going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
I really hope that if the Seahawks win, I hope he comes back to Muskegon. That would be really, really cool.
Well, he's his family is here. His sister, his oldest sister, Marion Bradford, she is my daughter's best friend.
Oh, okay.
And he is humongous over them.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like they try to, you know, like, you know, brother sister type yeah. stuff, play fight yeah. with him and yeah. stuff. And he just picks them up, throw them up against the wall or something like that. You know.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So and she's a She ain't that much taller than your wife.
Okay.
But she's the older sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
She be, you know, like, I'm the oldest. You're not you, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Same thing with my daughter. Her and Marion, they the same age.
Okay.
So, yeah, my daughter just lovingly calls him Tony. Oh, that's just Tony. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
That's just Tony. What are y'all talking about?
Yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
just Tony.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's funny, but I congratulations out to the whole Bradford family.
Yeah, that is.
Enjoy this ride.
That's super cool. I hope.
Enjoy.
I hope that. I'm assuming they're going to be out there. I mean, if it were my kid, they're.
Oh yeah.
You'd have.
Oh, I'm quite sure they're going to be out there.
Yeah.
But you know, I just congratulations to their family. Enjoy this ride.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
just as well as the pendulum swings up, it swings down.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
You always have to appreciate when you get to that game, any finals game, whether it's
yeah.
NBA, NHL,
yeah.
whatever, because you just never know if you're ever going to get back there again.
Right.
I mean, look at the Bears. 1985 was when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they haven't been back. They haven't even sniffed the Super Bowl. Well, I shouldn't say that. They went when Peyton – wait, not Peyton, but the Patriot or the Saints beat them.
Yeah.
I can't remember what year that was. Yeah. But that was the last time they were in the Super Bowl, but they haven't won a Super Bowl since
right.
1985.
So – I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward. I will be rooting for Seattle.
Yep.
Who you got?
Oh, Seattle for sure. I'm 100% Seattle. you know, obviously for the local connection, but I also Sam Darnold, I think, is a great story. I mean, he kind of leads Minnesota out of the doldrums
right.
last year.
Right.
They decide, you know what? Thank you, Sam, but we got J.J. McCarthy here. See you later. And Sam said, hey, no problem. I'll go sign with the Seahawks. And what are you guys doing on the 8th
of February?
Oh, you're sitting at your homes?
Well, watching me play.
Watching me play? Okay. That's cool.
Well, DJ, it was nice having you, man. I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And hey, be careful. Be safe out there, Muskegon, because the Winter Warlock is nothing to mess with.
Yes, sir. All right, a couple weeks, right?
Couple weeks.
All right, then.